But I think consumers all over the world are becoming more aware of what they want and what they want from a product, how it was produced and the story behind it. And I think this is a wonderful opportunity for all of us to be honest and have integrity.
This word that we hear a lot of in restaurants or cafes or maybe in the wine shop. Which dairy did this cheese come from? Or is this vineyard local? Where was this meat reared? But it tends not to be so easy with clothes, especially when it comes to fibres. Australia grows the best wool in the world, but exports nearly all of it. And even when a wool garment is made in Australia, the cloth has almost always been woven overseas. Love Merino is different. They grow the wool for their scarves themselves on their New South Wales property, Glenwood, and have it spun and knitted and printed or dyed right here in Australia. In this episode, we get to meet Pip Smith, farmer, scarf designer, ethical fashion changemaker. This is a unique story about five generations of wool-growing Aussies living and working on Glenwood and turning their land and processes around for a more sustainable future. Hi, Pip. I'm so glad you could join us.
Hello, Claire, and thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. I wanted to start by talking about Fashion Revolution. What are you guys going to do this year?
We've strived together, Norman and I and our family, to support it. And we're very passionate about, you know, the ethical treatment of animals, in particular our animals, and ethical fashion. We're going to be taking signs with the I Made Your Clothes out in the paddock with our sheep, who actually produce the wool that goes into our limited edition Love Merino scarves. And we're able to trace that wool right back, you know, the merino wool in the scarf right back to the flocks of sheep on our farm. So, yes, we will be, you know, maybe I'll put a scarf around a sheep and stand up with the sign. And,
can you?
Yeah, I will. Well, you'd like me to.
I would. It's so unusual, isn't it, to be able to say that that fibre comes from that particular flock. You know, that isn't really how we tend to do it, is it? But that's what you guys are doing. Pip, let's talk about Love Merino, where you say you can trace your scarf back to a specific flock. It's a beautiful idea. When did you have this idea and how long have you been working on this project?
I've always thought it would be wonderful to do, but I guess having the children, you know, I was a little busy and a little bit down the track I'd go to different things with Norm and, you know, I'd say, we should do this. And with no concept of how hard it is, we'd go down to Newcastle where our wool was sold once a year. And the buyers would love our wool. They'd just love it. And they'd say, this is beautiful. We'd want this, this, and this. And we'd be going, great. And off our wool would go. And you never knew where it ended up.
Yeah.
You know, and it could be mixed with anyone's. And it used to really make me sad because I know the passion and love Norman has. And he educates himself all the time, always continuously making, you know, so we can make ourselves better and always learning. And I used to think, he does all this, and then my dad, who's a mixed farmer who I love dearly, but wool wasn't on his radar. It was just a byproduct of the fat lambs, and he would just shear his sheep and sell off the wool. And for all I knew, our beautiful wool was getting mixed with his, and it just made me sad. But I think consumers all over the world are becoming more aware of what they want from a product and how it was produced and the story behind it. And I think this is a wonderful opportunity for all of us to be honest and have integrity and show how we work and live. And up until now, it was virtually impossible to be able to trace, you know, the merino wool from the shearing shed when it's shorn off the sheep's back. For us, it's been a long process, but for us to follow that, you know, gets on the truck, goes to Bathurst, goes to Sydney, goes to Melbourne to be washed, you know, and then to it does have to go overseas to be scoured and combed, which is a real shame because there's nowhere in Australia to do that.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, you can't do it in Australia. Well, I think it's the cost of production and the wage.
Of course.
So we do have to send our wool over to be scoured and combed, and then we bring it back to be knitted and woven in Melbourne. And then once it's woven and knitted, I have it freighted to Sydney. I have a consultant called Tess Lloyd. She joined our team August 2015, has helped develop the company as a consultant. She's got a designing background. She's an industrial designer. She had a company called Polly for 10 years, ran her own company, and she has similar values about sustainability, animal welfare, and Australian made. And she loved our story, and I think the story of Glenwood and Norman and I is why she came on board to help. And so she's been wonderful in helping, you know, with the designs, and she introduced us to another designer called Manuel Strano. She's Manny. She's our website designer, and she actually also did the design of one of our first scarves. We have a number of scarves. The first collection had 26.
A scarf can be a very simple garment, but it can also be a vehicle for beautiful prints, beautiful shibori process. I know you've worked with those guys in Stanmore, New South Wales, who create that shibori technique here in Sydney.
So, yes, so we started with scarves, and the idea was to see if it would work. And Tess's idea was we'd do a couple of screen printing scarves. So we're working with Publisher Textiles, and they use traditional, you know, hand print methods to hand print our designs onto the beautiful fabric. Mark and Steph, they're a great young couple, very supportive of us. We started with two screen designs, which Manny, our designer, she created. She came up to the farm for a weekend, loved our story, took photos. We showed her all the native grasses and the animals and the people, and she came up with a design. One is Paper Daisy. It's a native grass to Glenwood, and she came up with a few, but we ended up choosing Paper Daisy because my youngest daughter's called Paper Daisy, and she modified the native grass to a contemporary design. And then she also did, to pay homage to my mother-in-law, and she did a design using all the foliage out of the garden, and so we called it Glenwood Summer. So we have two designs that are put under screen, you know, that are screen printed. And then Tess was friends with the girls from Shibori, Pepper and Karen, in Stanmore.
Pepper Martin and Karen Davis, they're doing some extraordinary work, basically using traditional Japanese Shibori dyeing techniques. And I don't know if listeners are aware of them, but they have an amazing Instagram page. They teach classes, and their distinctive kind of traditional Japanese blue and white dyed pieces, they're just beautiful. And so to work with creative duos like that, that's a pretty cool kind of step that you're taking as well. You're bringing that Glenwood story out into further creative circles, aren't you?
That's right. Well, Tess introduced us. She was friends with Pepper and Karen, and she'd worked with them before. And so we are working closely with the dynamic duo of Pepper and Karen. They've been wonderful and experimenting with colours and patterns on merino, and I don't think they'd worked with merino before. So it's wonderful. So they've come up with some designs using shibori and the colours, and each scarf is individually dyed one by one. It takes 2 to 3 hours for each of my scarves. It's incredible, and they're just so beautiful and soft. And because the merino, the fabric it's such a good wool, the dye just takes up so beautifully. The affinity is, you know, to the colour is amazing.
Pippa, I loved how you just mentioned the feel of those scarves against the skin. There does persist this perception that wool is scratchy, doesn't there? People think, oh, I can't wear wool next to my skin. It's scratchy, it's hot. But that's not the case with merino, right? Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
In speaking with lots and lots of people, you'll ask, I guess, to have an understanding, why don't you wear wool? And most people will say it's prickly or itchy. Well, our wool doesn't itch, and that's really due to all the work with Dr. Jim Watson, the SRS Merino, and my husband Norm, that produces beautiful product that every wool producer could be doing. Deal with the scratchiness, the manufacturer goes, this is generally what happens, is the manufacturer goes to refine a micron, And the problem with that, you end up with a very thin cloth that won't last.
Okay.
We need to be producing a micron of about 18 to 19 that has no spickle and it's soft and beautiful and white. And that's where my husband comes in.
Yeah, I mean, it's a quality issue, isn't it? It's not that wool is scratchy. It's just to do with the quality of the wool that you have access to or you're buying.
That's right. And probably right from the whole breeding the plain-bodied merino, the way he manages his sheep, they're good mothers, they're good doers, easy to shear by the shearers, having a SRS smooth plain-bodied sheep. They have more skin surface to produce more fibres of wool. Like it's very complicated. Like I said, I'm not the expert. My husband with Dr. Jim, what they've done is they're producing the best fibre in the world.
I do think that we, as an industry, I'm talking about the media, so my industry, have got a job to do in educating people about wool, especially in the fashion space, because it is just such a fabulous thing. I'm not making an ad for wool, but I'm personally just a fan. I've got a dress that my mother gave me. It's Liberty wool from the 70s. It's incredible. It's like the most soft, beautiful, it's like silk, but it's wool. You can buy wool crepe, you can buy fine jumpers. There's so much depth and breadth to it, and we're growing it here. It's biodegradable, it's sustainable. It's such a cool thing. I think it's something we do need to tell the story of more often. I've been watching your videos on lovemerino.com.au, and I would encourage listeners to do the same. It's really amazing. I think it's easy to live in a big city or in coastal Australia and not really have any clue what goes on in rural Australia. But watching these videos, you get such a feel for the land, for how beautiful it is. And we know farming's tough and that life on the land can be tough and prices are tough. But the kind of feeling I was left with when I watched all of these videos was one of kind of romance. You guys care so much about the custodianship of this land. I think it's so important to tell these stories. It kind of helps us connect with the textiles that we wear.
Norman and I have an amazing story, and I guess that's in a way with the videos, trying to share that with the rest of the world. We've got five beautiful, healthy children, and we feel so blessed to live and work on Glenwood and in one of the most beautiful spots in Australia, Wellington, New South Wales. Glenwood's not just a farming business, it's a way of life. We try to find the balance between the land and its environment, the animals, the people, the community and our business, and we try to teach our children also, you know, how blessed they are. And I don't know if they realise how lucky they are to grow up where they've grown up, but
yeah.
I know one day they will.
I wonder if you want to just talk to me a little bit, Pip, about why wool is a sustainable fibre. What does it take to grow wool?
We make our money from sunshine and water. We're running Glenwood, we believe, sustainably. So the sunshine and the rain makes the grass grow, and the Glenwood sheep eat the grass and grow their wool. There's no other inputs. There's no chemicals or man-made fertilizer. We don't need that. Our wool is grown completely sustainable and it's harvested with only human effort. It's critical that we have a sheep that can look after itself out in the paddock and won't get fly blown, that doesn't need mulesing and has plenty of lambs.
Pip, I do want to talk about mulesing because it is a topic that often comes up in this ethical fashion space. Your sheep on Glenwood are non-mulesed. Mulesing basically involves cutting off the folds of skin around a sheep's bum, if you like, the lay term, to prevent flies laying eggs in there. And fly strike is pretty horrible, right? Dangerous and painful. But it's also very complex because in some areas, for example, if it's really wet, it's pretty hard to prevent fly strike without mulesing. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, no, it depends. Well, it depends what you want to do and where you want to go. The mulesing of a lamb is an extremely painful operation. And, you know, it can take up to 6 weeks for them to heal. And moisture is the reason that sheep get fly blown. The folds of the skin on a sheep hold the moisture. So if you take away the folds, there's no moisture, there's no flies. It's that simple. We've developed, well, not we, under the guidance of a very clever and wonderful man, Dr. Jim Watts, under his guidance, we've changed our merinos to what they call an SRS merino, a soft rolling skin merino. And we've been doing that for 20 years with Dr. Jim as a part of an intensive program. And the outcome is that we're breeding a plain-bodied merino with minimal wrinkle that doesn't require mulesing. It's comfortable in its environment. It has exceptionally high levels of fiber density and length in the wool. It's so much easier and efficient to process and an exceptional end product, really.
As I mentioned before, we know this is an issue. It's an emotive issue. And I think there are shoppers out there who are like, oh, I don't know if wool is cruel or if I should be supporting wool, or they want to buy wool that comes from non-mulesed flocks. But how do people know? If you find a lovely sweater in the high street, how do you know where the wool comes from?
Yeah, at the moment, it's really hard to tell as there's limited traceability. And the difficult thing is the traceability all the way along through the pipeline. So that's with Love Merino. Like, I know I can 100% guarantee you. That's why, you know, I can show you the scarf and I can show you the flock of sheep in the paddock that wool came from.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, I want to just finish up by asking you that. What is it, apart from the fact that you love it and you make it and you live with it, what would you say to listeners about why you love wool?
The fact, I think, like we've just discussed, it's natural, it's sustainable, it requires nothing but human intervention when you're shearing the sheep, which we do with utmost care and looking after the animal and the shearer. It's a beautiful product. I mean, wool, our fabric, you know, you can, it's like cashmere. So if you've worn something that's itchy, then you haven't worn our wool, you know. we've taken to calling it merino because, you know, studies and research shows that if you say wool, people think it's itchy. But it's super soft. It's not itchy. You can wear it against the skin and it has a beautiful appearance after dyeing. It's an active fibre that reacts to your body, so keeps you cool in summer and warm in winter. You can layer it. It's just beautiful to handle and for draping, and it'll last if you look after it, you know.
And it will last, yeah. I think that's actually a really beautiful note to finish on. I always love that story about Prince Charles, who is the patron of the campaign for wool in the UK, burying a woolen sweater alongside a synthetic one in his garden. And then a bit later he came along and dug them up and the wool one had biodegraded and the synthetic one was still hanging around. So, you know, you are going to keep your wool garments hopefully for many years. But if they ever do end up in landfill, at least they disappear and go back to where they started.
That's right. Eco-friendly.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing your story, Pip, about your property and about Love Merino.
Oh, thank you, Claire. I feel very honoured and humbled that you wanted to speak to me about it. That's lovely.
Oh, no way. And also so good to tell Australian stories about this fibre that we grow. We grow the most wool of anywhere else in the world in Australia, and yet we consume less than 1% of it. So I think if there's a message in this story, it's, you know, let's support wool. They read something they thought was interesting. Who Made My Clothes is a co-production between Jack Rabbit FM and Fashion Revolution Australia and New Zealand. It's hosted by me, Claire Press from Wardrobe Crisis, and produced by Brooke McCallery. Editing is by Ryan Pemberton and Brooke McCallery. And you can find out more about the show and about all the brands that we feature by hopping onto the Fashion Revolution website.
Thank you to The Hipstones for the music. This track is Read Your Mind from the album Wise Man, available on iTunes or Spotify. To hear more, go to thehipstones.com. To find out more information and to take part in Fashion Revolution Week, head to the website. It's fashionrevolution.org and you need to search for Australia or New Zealand. On social media, search for the hashtags Who Made My Clothes and Fashion Revolution, and you'll find heaps of inspiration as to how you can get involved.
Jack Rabbit FM.
For your ears.
Who is that? Hi, Puck Pass.